they will take too long. The second bill was, I believe, passed almost unanimously, the unemployment bill, insurance bill last year. Senator Sparks, I think it was 67-0, so it shouldn't be too tough today. But first bill is Senate File 54, Senator Tomasoni, Hibbing Area Redevelopment Agency Dissolution. Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File number 54, it just comes from the city of Hibbing. They want to dissolve their Hibbing Area Redevelopment Agency because they don't use it anymore, and just move the assets into the Hibbing Economic Development Authority. And since it was created statutorily, they need to dissolve it statutorily. So that's all this does. I guess that's all there really is to the bill.
There's some money left in the account?
There's some property that's in the account that they're transferring over, but any of the assets that are there is going to be transferred over to the Hibbing Economic Development Authority, because that's the authority that does all of the attempts at economic development. And the Area Redevelopment Agency is defunct as of now as far as usefulness is concerned.
Any discussion on
Mr. Chair?
This your re-election bill?
Well, I don't think it'll affect me 4 years down the road.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Neville.
Mr. Chair and Senator Tomasoni, so apparently all they have is land? Because you're saying they can convey by deed. They don't have any cash. They don't have any other personal property assets or anything like that?
Let me read this to you.
That's the way I would interpret
it. Computer?
Transferred
yeah, it has three parcels of land in an industrial park, and they're transferring it over.
Okay. Thank you.
Tomasoni.
Is this a consent calendar thing, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I believe so. Absolutely. Any objection to that from the? Yeah. All favor of the Tomasoni to move Senate File 54 to the consent calendar, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The other bill on today's agenda is Senator Sparks's bill. 167. I believe, Senator Sparks, you can certainly speak for yourself, but this came out of the recommendation of the Unemployment Advisory Council, and I believe it's pretty close to the bill that we passed last year. But with that, Senator Sparks. Well, somebody, Council, said you have an amendment. Maybe we should put that on now, Senator Sparks, to get the bill into shape.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the opportunity to testify in Senate File 167. Mm-hmm. I do have an author's amendment, the A1 amendment, that is strictly technical. It changes some dates. And
like all right, any discussion? All those in favor of the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion prevails. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairs and members. And just a little brief history. The chair is correct. This is a bill for many of you that were here last year that was passed in the Minnesota Senate by a 62-0 vote. It ran into a little roadblock in the House late in session and was not able to become law. The bill is a consensus product of the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council, which is made up of the AFL-CIO, the Teamsters, the State Chamber of Commerce, National Federation of Independent Businesses, Mechanical Contractors Association, the Jobs Now Coalition, and Legal Aid. And with that, Mr. Chair and members, I will turn it over to Mr. Lee Nelson, the Director of Unemployment Insurance Legal Affairs, to walk you through the bill.
Welcome, Mr. Nelson. And
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Lee Nelson. I am the Director of Legal Affairs for the Unemployment Insurance Program in Minnesota. This bill has a number of provisions in it. I'll just go through quickly a few of the primary things. This bill provides for coverage for new labor market entrants by providing an alternate base period. So what happens right now, if you apply for benefits today, we would look at the period August 1st, 2005 through September 30th, 2006. Your last 4 months of work would not be counted. A number of people don't qualify because they've only worked for the last 6 months, let's say. This bill would say, okay, if you don't qualify under the existing base period, we will look at the last quarter and to see if you qualify. We believe this will amount to a little over 2,000 people a year who do not qualify now will qualify under this bill. These people have worked long enough. They just didn't work in the right period of time. And if they wait another month till a calendar quarter changes, please, then they'll qualify. We're saying they should qualify now. They shouldn't have to wait 2 months to qualify for benefits, even though they've worked, let's say, for the last six. About 2,000 people will qualify under this bill who do not currently. This bill also eliminates a protest affirmation redetermination process, which is on most tax matters. Currently, benefits, if you have a benefit protest appeal, it goes through a straight process, but if you have a tax matter, it goes through an extra step. But only certain tax matters go through this. It's very confusing. People don't understand it, appreciate it. We want to streamline the process. Department makes a determination. You appeal it. It goes right to a hearing before an unemployment law judge. We want to make uniformity in the appeals process, and that's what this bill does. This bill also, in a number of different articles in exactly 16 different sections, changes the appeal period. Current appeal period and everything is 30 calendar days. We would like this bill amends it down to 20 calendar days. You have to understand it's easier to file an appeal now. We take them online. We take them by phone. Minnesota has a very long appeal period nationally. Wisconsin's is only 14 days. We are simply asking that it be reduced to 20 days. Now, you'll find applicants for benefits appeal right away if they're denied. But employers seem to wait until the last minute. We get people to appeal a little sooner. We're going to get to that case sooner. We believe this will save overpayments of $750,000 a year simply by getting to cases a little bit quicker. It doesn't adversely affect, applicants. And employers now can file appeals online. It's a lot easier. It's a lot quicker to file an appeal. We simply believe that the shortening the appeal period is beneficial for everyone. This bill is cost neutral. It's part of the administration's position that bills should be cost neutral, that a benefit increase ultimately is a tax increase. This bill is cost neutral. It freezes calculation for benefits for certain people whose benefits are high in relation to their annual wage. Right now, the standard is always you get 50% of your average weekly wage, but based on what snapshot in time. We believe, this bill will freeze it for a certain number of people. Now, that pays for the cost of some of those other things, like I said, the new 2,000 people who will be covered who aren't now, and I'll explain in just a minute another portion which is fairly large. This bill increases the penalties on fraud overpayments. If an applicant for benefits is working and collecting benefits at the same time and not informing the department, we will find out later, but this bill will increase the penalties for committing fraud.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Neville.
How much are you increasing the penalties?
There are two penalties being imposed in this, Senator Neville, Mr. Chairman. This bill increases penalties in two ways. It increases penalties by saying if you have an outstanding overpayment, you can't come back in and use the system to repay the benefits. You have to pay them back before you can come back in and collect benefits again. And two, current law provides for a 25% dollar penalty. This would increase that dollar penalty to 40%.
Senator Murphy? Is it Murphy that I didn't see, but I could think it was his voice. I was looking at Senator Bonham.
Yeah.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Nelson, you just said that if there is an overpayment, they have to pay that back before they can get back into the system so that they can collect the benefit that's entitled to them. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, yes. A couple of states do this currently. What we're saying, the bill is the theory behind it, is you shouldn't, if you cheated this system, you've committed fraud, this is felony level, and you shouldn't be able to come back right in and use the system again to help pay off what you stole, if you want to use that term. You should pay it back and then come in and use the system again.
Senator Murphy.
What happens to the person who just, maybe this is part of the bill, but you haven't gotten to it yet,
say there was a mistake made and it wasn't theirs and there was some sort of overpayment made, and then, you know, a lot of times if you get an overpayment on something, you know, you're not running right back to the bank to hand them back the money, is what I'm saying. It was kind of a legitimate mistake made on the behalf of you know, the state's part. The individual got the overpayment, but they didn't say anything about it. Do you classify that as being a felony level fraud?
Want to talk about that? Okay. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, that would not be fraud. Almost all instances of fraud are an individual is collecting unemployment benefits and then goes to work somewhere and does not report it. And they are asked biweekly, are you working? And they would say no. And they are asked, report any earnings, and they report zero, when in fact they are working and earning some money. And we'll find out about that later. We have cross matches later, but that's a few months down the line when wages are reported by employers that we can cross match. We collect it with Social Security and other places, new hires data, but there's a delay in employers filing new hires. So we do a lot of cross matches. But this is you're working and claiming unemployment benefits, and you're not reporting that you're working. So it is fraudulent. It is not
fraud,
simply
yeah.
Who simply had an overpayment because of a mistake or error.
Okay. Proceed, Mr. Nelson.
The biggest thing that this bill does as far as impact is that it changes the deduction for part-time earnings while you're collecting benefits. For this is people who actually do report that they are, in fact, working part-time and collecting benefits. Under current law, there is a disincentive to work part-time after a certain point. There's a dollar-for-dollar deduction. So actually working hurts you because you don't get to keep 100% of what you earn. You have some taxes on that. So it actually penalizes you by working. This bill changes the deduction for part-time earnings to straight 55% of any earnings are deductible. So 45% aren't considered. So it makes it an incentive to keep working more and more on a part-time basis. This bill also provides for no deduction for earnings a National Guard or military reserve unit. Now, this would be people who are collecting unemployment benefits who report on weekends, military reserve, and currently that money is deductible. This would make that not deductible at all. We would not consider any military earnings. So long as you're in the military on a part-time basis. We believe this will affect approximately 200 people per year. So it has a relatively small impact. The deduction for part-time earnings overall will impact 20,000 people positively. We'll get a little bit more in benefits. Those are the primary provisions of this bill. I can go into it in more in depth into the various details of this bill. I want to say that the first 30 pages of the bill represent what are called the substantive changes. The last 60 pages are revisers' suggestions on language. There is also an article in here moving longstanding administrative rules into the statute. Currently, there is a definition of wages in the statute and a definition of wages in the rules. We want to move all of those into the statute. It does not change the law, but simply makes it easier for people to find and makes it consistent.
Senator Scoyp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. I want to go back to Section 13 just for a little bit. I'm not familiar with what Section 268.18 Subdivision 2 is, but that's this fraud portion that you're referring to. Does that mean that they have to be convicted of fraud in a court, or what does that mean?
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoyp, no, they would not have to be convicted of fraud in a court, but the department would make a determination that you have committed fraud after gathering the evidence and asking for information from you as to, you know, usually What this is, we do a cross match, and we find out on our own wage records, which come in a few months later, that you were working at the same time you were requesting benefits. We then contact the employer to find out exactly each week how much you worked and how much actual wages were paid in every single week. Then we send that to an applicant and say, okay, here's what your employer has reported. What's your explanation? And most of the time, quite frankly, we don't get a response. Then we will issue a determination of fraud. That is appealable to an unemployment law judge where you get a hearing. It's a full due process de novo hearing. You can appeal from there to the Minnesota Court of Appeals, who would review the case.
There.
Okay. Thank you.
There's other avenues to pursue if need be. And so, let's go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then the other question I had on Clause 5, I guess it is, the applicant fails or refuses to provide information on an issuance of eligibility, and you're changing that to ineligibility. What is the change what is the practical effect of changing those words from eligibility to ineligibility?
Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, none. What we've done in some other provisions, I have to look at the exact part, but we're changing everything to ineligibility. Current law uses the term, we call it an issue of eligibility. When there's a question, are you entitled or not entitled, we call it a question, an issue of eligibility. We want to change that to an issue of ineligibility. So it's just changing the language. It has no effect whatsoever. That's part of, actually, if you look in Article 5, it makes all those changes. And as that points out, that's simply a terminology change, making no, has no effect whatsoever on benefits.
I guess I'm, Mr. Chair, I don't, why are you making the change if it has no effect? There must be a reason for it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, we're trying to change everything to ineligibility. We're removing various terms. Right now the law uses the term disqualification. Some places uses the term ineligibility and others, and it confuses people. We want to make the whole statute consistent, and that's what part of Article 5 does. This particular provision is in line with Article 5. It may be in a different article because under the revisers thing, they didn't want to repeat sections of the statute. So if you put this section over here, you have to make all the changes in there. It would simply otherwise have been an Article 5, which would have been simply a language change. We're just trying to make it consistent so that we don't use this term over here and this term over here. All the terminology is consistent throughout the statute.
Thank you.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For either Mr. Nelson or Senator Sparks, what happened last year? This thing flew out of the Senate and... What was the speed bump over in the House? Do we know?
I think some of us know, but I think they had something to do with Northwest Airlines, if I'm not mistaken. Can we assume that, or do you want to? You wanted to answer that,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Michelle. It got on the floor of the House. I'll tell you, is what I was told by Representative Gunther, who was the sponsor, and by Representative Tim Mahoney, who is the one who ultimately caused a little problem. That was my words, not his. Anyway, what happened was...
It could be your words, not my good.
Originally, there was an amendment to dealing with Northwest Airlines, and that was dropped. But then Representative Mahoney wanted to amend the bill to deal with a apprenticeship program problem, as he saw it. He came out into the hall, I will tell you, and apologized to me afterwards, indicated that he would assist in getting the bill passed this year, and he is the House sponsor of this bill this year. But what happened was he wanted to amend the bill, and that was not allowed to happen, and the bill did not come up for a vote.
All right, Mr. Chair. So we'll give Sparks another unanimous vote, probably, if he can do something this year.
Should have probably got another author, Mr. Yeah. couldn't get her done last year.
It wasn't my bill last year, Mr.
Oh, wasn't
Chair,
his bill. So, yeah. So, oh, they got a new author, a good author. any further questions? What I like about this, the way we do these things nowadays on this unemployment stuff is 8 or 10 years ago when we put that advisory council together. In the old days, every word we'd fight over here and go at everybody, and now at least you get labor business together and they wrestle over there somewhere, come in with the stuff that they agree on, and it makes our life a lot easier. So, and I'm not saying this everything they do is perfect, but it's at least it brings labor and business together and let them decide before a lot of the stuff before it gets done. So with that, I think the Judiciary Committee wants us.
Yeah, that's the end of my witnesses. So then I would move, Mr. Chair, that Senate File 167 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
Okay, any discussion on?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Mr. Shai. Chairman, I just remembered a conversation, and maybe you said this earlier, and I don't think it has anything to do with the bill, but and maybe everybody in the world knew except me that you're now using a card instead of issuing a check. Is that right? For unemployment. Did you talk about that?
No,
I found it really interesting.
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shai, this last August, the unemployment insurance program stopped issuing paper checks. We've done direct deposit for a number of years, and we went to a debit card. We have a banking contract with U.S. Bank, and that contract, which we've had for years, provides for debit card services. So we simply use that existing contract. We now, if you don't have direct deposit, we'll be issued a debit card in which if we issue money to you, it is just put on that account, and you can use that debit card. The reason for doing this was a number of reasons. The primary one was simply the cost, the mailing cost alone of issuing 1 million unemployment checks a year, or 1 million payments, which we were doing. That's about $700,000 a year in mailing costs alone. We estimate we'll have total savings of $1 million a year in administrative costs by going to a debit card. The debit card is at no cost to the program. It's all the costs are all picked up by U.S. Bank, who actually charges the merchants a portion of any of the monies where that card may be used. That's where they make their primary money. It is no cost to an applicant. We feel it's safer and easier, especially if you don't have a checking account. How do you cash a paper check? It's very expensive and difficult. And this card is usable at any U.S. bank, any Visa bank. You can walk in and get it at a teller, and you can draw out the full amount on the card. It's usable at no cost at any U.S. bank ATM, which are spread throughout the state of Minnesota, and, of course, usable at any ATM and usable at any merchant who takes a debit card.
The committee members.
Mr. Chairman, thanks for indulging me. I just thought that was cool.
Very interesting.
We should all, the committee members should get one for a week so we could practice out of it. See how that really works. Okay, any further comments? Senator Sparks renews his motion that 167 be forwarded to the Judiciary Committee. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Any announcements of
next Monday?
Next Monday. Oh, I think we're going to have, I don't think we're going to have, we're going to have a smoking thing, so.
Smoking thing?
Smoking gun?
Smoking,
smoking
bill.
I
like
yeah.
it like that,
so.
Smoking thing.
Not the smoking gun. And smoking, though. So. Try to get here on time because it's going to take, have a little discussion. So, thank you. The meeting's adjourned.